Welcome to the Hedgemaker Broadcast. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied to the nation of Israel many long years ago, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." He also said that the Lord sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries, located in beautiful Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is attempting to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in these days of spiritual compromise and theological apostasy. Our biblical and historical Christian heritage challenges us to fill in the gaps left by those who have moved away from their biblical foundation. Listen now as we build up the wall and make up the hedge through sound preaching from God's holy word.
Tonight, let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 11. Here are some things to pray for, and there's really more than this, but we'll look at verse 11, 12, and 13. And you'll notice, give us in verse 11, forgive us in verse 12, lead us in verse 13, and deliver us in verse 14. So what I want to do is categorize our prayers, and then I want to add another one, a fifth one. So there's four categories of what to pray for. You know me, I like to alliterate things. So this isn't the best alliteration, but here you go. Give us, that's providence. Forgive us, that's clearance. Lead us, that's guidance. And deliver us, that's deliverance. And then I want to add one more thing from the Gospel of John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus says, pray for anything. We can pray for providence. We can pray for clearance, guidance, deliverance, and we can pray for anything. So that's abundance, okay? So providence, clearance, guidance, deliverance, and abundance. First thing that Jesus mentions here in verse 11, he says, he teaches us to pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And so that's one of the first things that we can ask the Lord for, our daily bread, our daily provisions. Later in the chapter, verses 25 through 34, Jesus expands this, what we should pray for regarding our daily bread. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, that's our bread, or, he expands it a little bit, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. So we have food, we have drink, and we have clothing. We would call those the necessary things of life. That's, I think, what Jesus is referring to when he says, pray by asking for your daily bread. What are the things that you need? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and with what you shall be clothed. He says, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right, so here he uses the illustration of the fowl of the air. And I was mentioning this morning about bad leadership, and I was thinking, we closed this morning's service with the song that said, this is my Father's world. And so I'm thinking about the birds and the rabbits. Not so many squirrels in our yard, but we do have lots of rabbits and birds. And I suppose the government could regulate those, but they just kind of happen, you know. And God takes care of all those birds. God takes care of all those animals. He feeds them. They don't get up in the morning and worry about what they're going to eat or where. They're already clothed, of course. But God takes care of them. Now, they don't just sit in their nests. They go off and hunting for food. And in other words, they're working. And so that's, I think, what needs to be done here. We don't just sit back and tell the Lord, hey, I need some grub today, and don't do anything to earn that grub. We go to work. And that's a principle of Scripture as well. So even as the birds or the animals would do that, but the Father, Heavenly Father, feeds them. They don't gather into barns and reap and things like that, but God cares for them. And so he says, are not ye much better than they? So we ought to pray for God's providence along the way. I don't know that I was praying for this, but I mentioned it to some of you because we were talking about going out to Shady Maple and Good's store, that I needed some new socks. Socks were wearing out, and the reason I fuss about my socks is because most of the socks that are made are like 50% nylon or acrylic or polyester or something to that effect. And I have to have a sock that is as much cotton as possible, otherwise my feet get itchy. And the darker the socks, the dye also creates an itch on my foot. So I said to my wife, I said, I have to be picky about socks. And we went to Goods, because that's where I bought the last ones. And they didn't have any. And they had lots of socks, but not the right kind. And not the right color. And so, I don't know, where did we go? We went somewhere. One of the malls, and we found some. They're comfortable, and they're right. And my wife is just excited about that because she's writing it down in her journal that the Lord provided these socks. I don't know if you were praying for socks, but she was praying for socks. I should have been praying for my own socks. Anyway, but the Lord answers those prayers, see? That's what I'm getting at. And cares for us and brings us just the right things that we need. We should pray for our daily bread, our daily provisions. And so the Lord teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. By the way, in Luke's gospel, he says, give us day by day or day unto day, something to that effect. Same idea, our daily bread. So, you know, you get provisions for the day, but tomorrow you need more provisions, more daily bread. So you need those provisions, and you can pray for those things. It doesn't matter how big it is. I told you before, when I was in Bible college, we had a fellow in Bible college, you have need of all sorts of things. And he was telling us, you can pray for toothpaste. When you're in Bible college, you don't have money for toothpaste. Okay? And so you pray for the things that you need. And we sort of get away from that when we have an income that's a steady income. I'm not wishing that we didn't have a steady income. But we get away from asking the Lord for those daily provisions because now we think that they're provided by that income. That they're still provided by God. All of those daily provisions. So we need to pray that way. And that's what we can pray for. Give us this day our daily bread. And you can list any kind of provisions that you want to list in that list. In his book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving, John R. Rice listed a number of places and I won't turn to these, but I'll just call your attention to them. The children of Israel, I'm sure they prayed along the way, and God provided manna. He did this for 40 years. Their daily bread for 40 years. And also, in that provision, they were also provided with clothing that didn't wear out. They didn't have to go to the sock store and get new socks for 40 years, or new shoes. Their garments waxed not old, and their shoes didn't wear out. That's in Deuteronomy 29 and verse number 5. When they wanted something a little bit different than manna, God sent them quail. And met their need for this hunger for meat. And that's also in Exodus chapter 16, verse 13, and repeated again in Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 31. At times, they didn't have water. Traveling through the desert, and so they prayed for water, and God gave them water out of the rock. At one point, the water was bitter, and he made that bitter water into sweet water. So there's a couple of illustrations right there in the life and history of the nation of Israel. During Elijah's day, Elijah was told, James mentions that, told King Ahab that it wasn't going to rain for 3 years, and then Elijah went off to the brook, and the Lord provided food for him through the ravens. That's 1 Kings chapter 17. After that, he meets with a widow woman at Zarephath, who also was looking at her last meal. And the prophet told her to give the meal to him, which really, in essence, meant giving it to the Lord, and the Lord would provide her needs, which the Lord did. There are other illustrations in the life of Elijah. The Savior, the Lord Jesus, turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. So there's the provision of drink for the wedding. I don't know if anybody was actually ever praying for all of those things, but they did say to him and asked him, they have want of this wine. So in a sense, that was a request for giving the wine. And then with the disciples, the crowd came unto him a number of times, the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000, and God provided for the daily needs of those people. So several illustrations in the Bible where God provides for their daily food, God gives providence. Now, most of the prayers, other than that, in the Bible are not for daily provisions, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for those. Now let's go to the next category. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus continues to teach us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I thought about some biblical words, redemption, remission, things like that, but that didn't rhyme with providence, so I thought about clearance. We're clearing, forgiving, having our sins removed. Forgive us. Now, Jesus will qualify that in verse 14 and 15. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we have a prayer for forgiveness. Now, I'm going to expand that a little bit. That prayer for forgiveness could also include the prayers for the gospel message. Let me turn you to a couple of places of Scripture, and we want to look at a number of places where people are praying for different things. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Paul is, of course, writing to the Thessalonians here in this epistle, and he is concluding his writings to them. And so he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, what should they pray for? Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So Paul is saying that there might be gospel freedom. The word of God might have free course. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. That's so men could find forgiveness in the Lord. Go back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. In this passage, Paul has a great desire and a prayer for his people, the nation of Israel. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul's setting a pattern for us that we ought to pray for lost folks. Pray for the salvation of the lost. That's under this category of forgiveness. And then Jesus also talked about that in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 38, where he's talking about the harvest, and he says that we ought to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Matthew 9, 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Paul mentions this when he writes to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And I think he mentions this in other places as well. I'm thinking of a place, and I can't remember where that is. I think it's 1 or 2 Timothy, where he says, pray for those in authority, that we might have free course. But I don't think I have that one written down. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 18 and 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, pray for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul says, pray for me that I will preach the gospel boldly. I think that's kind of odd. We think of Paul as already bold, don't we? But he's praying that he would be bold. So he's probably not as bold as we think that he is. The Lord taught us to pray, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Of course, you can have 1 John 1:9. We get that forgiveness, of course, by confession of sin. So that's all involved in that as well. We confess our sin when we pray. Now, Jesus doesn't, well, he does. He says, forgive us our sins. But in that, when John talks about confession, the way we get forgiveness is through confession. In the third category, give us our daily bread, forgive us. And then in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 6, lead us. And what he says about that is, lead us not into temptation, but then there's deliver us. So those kind of go together. But when I think about leading us, I'm thinking about guidance. There are a number of places in the Bible when we talk about prayer, we can get guidance. How about James chapter 1 and verse number 5? If any of you lack wisdom, what's he supposed to do? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. When the Apostle Paul was involved in planting, I think this is during his first missionary journey, Acts chapter 14, verse 23, during that first missionary journey, they go through three or four or five towns, and then they turn around and run back through those towns again, and the Bible says that they confirm the souls in those places, and they helped to get the churches established. You know, it's an amazing thing. This is only taking place in a couple of months, maybe weeks. I don't think it's taking years for these churches to be planted. Paul said to the Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. We had 3,000 folks getting saved on the day of Pentecost. That normally doesn't happen in our preaching today. And most churches don't have 3,000 folks coming to the service. It's the fullness of time, and the church planting takes place rather rapidly. So they go back through these towns. Acts chapter 14, verse number 23, it says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So this is guidance, this is wisdom, this is asking the Lord to bless these new churches with these new leaders, and to help the churches to flourish and to grow. And all of that is a part of guidance. When Paul writes to the Philippians, chapter 1 of Philippians, and verse number 9 and 10, he is praying. And in fact, in the beginning of each of these little epistles, Paul has a little section on prayer. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. That's asking for wisdom, guidance, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So Paul's praying for the Philippians that they would have a mind that is full of discernment, that they would approve things that are excellent. God would grant them wisdom. Let's turn over to the book of Colossians, the next book, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians. Let's look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here's a prayer for the knowledge of God. That's guidance. That's wisdom. Do you ever want to know what the Lord wants you to do about something? Some things, of course, are spelled out in the Bible. But there's a lot of things that are not spelled out. So we need to pray. and get the will of God. One of the conditions of prayer, it's mentioned in John 14, 15, and 16 in those passages. Not only do we pray in the name of Jesus, but we need to pray according to his will. Well, sometimes we don't know the will of God. Romans will tell us that. I'll have another message. We'll talk about the ministry of the Spirit of God in prayer. And we'll address that. But in Romans chapter 8, verses 25 and 26, he talks about the Spirit helping our infirmities. And we know not what to pray as we ought. So we need the knowledge of the will of God. Turn over to the sister book in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Ephesians 1:17, Paul's in the middle of his prayer here again, and he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So again, Paul is asking the Ephesians and the Colossians, that asking the Lord for the knowledge of God's will concerning things. So that's guidance. There are other places we could look as well where they're asking for strength and endurance while you're here in Ephesians. For instance, look at Ephesians 3:16. Verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. And he's bowing his knees, praying in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So there's a lot of things. I don't know what category you might put that under. If you want to put that under guidance or not. Nonetheless, that is strength and endurance. In the sister book, again, back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, strengthen with all might. This is part of Paul's prayer again to the Colossians, or about the Colossians. Strengthen with all might. So guidance there. We need the Lord's guidance. And a lot of times we don't know what to do. You'd think that the older you get, the more that you would get wisdom about things. But life throws some things at you that you wonder sometimes. And it seems the more our world becomes perverted, the more we are going to have the wisdom of the Lord how to handle these things. We need to pray. We're never going to get to the place where we don't need prayer. All right, let's see. So Matthew chapter 6, we talked about, give us our daily bread. He said, forgive us our debts or our sins or our trespasses, depending on which passage of Scripture you're looking at there. Forgive us, and lead us. Then he says, and deliver us from evil. One thing I didn't mention this morning when we talk about leaders who have are bad leaders who are indeed evil, one of the things that we can do is to pray that the Lord would deliver us from evil. So I thought about some of those things, and there's a number of passages of Scripture that deal with that as well. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 12. Here we find Peter and John particularly, and James, I think, is involved with this. Let's read the context here, chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. I didn't think about this passage. There's another bad leader. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with the two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the street, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now when Peter was come to himself, realized this wasn't a vision, that this was true. He said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Now the context in verse 5, prayer was made for without ceasing for Peter, and prayer was being made in verse 12. Unless it mentions it later, we're not told what they were praying, but we assume that they're praying for deliverance. And God delivered Peter. So we have a precedent here of praying for deliverance. Of course, the Lord teaches us that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We don't have the time to do it, and I didn't make a list anyway, but you could go back through many of the Psalms where David is praying for deliverance. Many of those Psalms were written while he was being pursued by Saul. Some were written when he was in exile from Absalom. So there's a number of the Psalms that ask for deliverance. So it's a common thing to pray for deliverance from evil. We did not look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 41. Jesus is trying to teach his sleeping disciples about prayer, telling them to watch. "Watch and pray," Matthew 26:41, "that ye enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I think those two things go together there in Matthew 6:13. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And so that's a legitimate prayer. I didn't make another category for this, but let's go to James chapter 5. We just finished here a couple of weeks ago a study of the book of James. James chapter 5, there is a prayer for healing. And I suppose you could put this under the category of deliverance. So we can pray for healing. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Of course, in verse number 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." So you can do your own praying, or you can have the elders praying for you for sickness. So prayer for healing. Look also at Acts chapter 28 and verse number 8. Acts 28 and verse 8. "And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him." You can, of course, look at the illustrations from the lives of Elijah and Elisha, who healed a number of folks during their ministries and also exercised prayer for that healing. So you can pray for healing. That's somewhat of a deliverance. Let's catch one last one, and that is the prayer for anything. If you pray in my name, you can ask the Lord for anything. That's what John 14, 15, and 16, several places say, anything. Now, of course, it has to be in the name of the Lord. So anything, if it's according to the will of the Lord, then you can pray for it.
This is Dr. Lee Henise, and we want to thank you for listening to the Hedgemaker broadcast today. Most of our broadcasts are portions of a sermon that I have preached to church. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries is the preaching, teaching, and writing ministry for myself. You can visit us on the web at hedgemaker.org. And let's be encouraged to stand in the gap and make up the hedge until Jesus comes again.